The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message.
I want to read to you something that I got off a website called TorahTots.com. It's a messianic website, but everything that's happening right now with Hanukkah is so symbolic and significant of what we're talking about today and what's happening with Christmas and all these things. But a lot of the church just doesn't know these things, and they're not super hard to understand the basics, okay? But I'm going to read to you something, a little history lesson here. And it says this: the year was about 165 BCE. A large group of men led by Judah the Maccabee climbed to the top of a mountain overlooking Jerusalem. It was the same mountain from which many centuries later the Crusaders would launch their attack against the Muslims, and from which the Jordanian artillery would shell Jerusalem in 1967. In 165 BC, however, so we're talking about, 165 years before Jesus' birth. So there is a, Pastor Greg did a great job of teaching this morning. He talked about the fall feasts and then the spring feasts in the Bible and how significant they are. But there's another feast called the Festival of Lights that is not referred to in the Old Testament. But Jesus, there's a chapter in John somewhere that talks about Jesus going to the winter feast, the Festival of Lights. He was celebrating Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. Amen. So these things are significant. Amen. In 165 BC, Judah and his men, with the help of Hashem, which is, God I'm talking about, were about to complete a great victory, a triumph that lives on as the miracle of Hanukkah. So this time of the year, man, think miracles. Miracles. And I'm not talking about make-a-wish kind of miracles. I'm not talking about genies. I'm talking about God. And all through the year, this is a perpetual thing, but this time of the year reminds us to be believing God for these things, right? After the death of Alexander the Great, conqueror of the world and friend of the Jewish people. So Alexander the Great was not an anti-Semitic leader. He was a good connection with the Jews. His empire was divided among his generals. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, the kingdom of Judea, and was added to the empire of Antiochus III. Now, Antiochus III, that might actually be the fourth. Yeah. Antiochus IV was basically Adolf Hitler. just a devil in flesh, right? And when Antiochus Epiphanes became king of the Syrian Greeks, he was not content to accept the taxes and loyalty of the Jews as his predecessors had done. He wanted the Jews to lay aside their Torah, an ancient religion, and their place substitute the Hellenistic Greek culture and Grecian idols. King Antiochus bore down on his Jewish subjects with a measure of ruthlessness, stubbornness, and cruelty that earned him the nickname Antiochus the Madman. Jews who dared to remain loyal to their faith were brutally tortured and murdered. Horrible, awful stuff happened, under this man's leadership. Against this backdrop, Jewish resistance began to ebb, and it seemed inevitable that the last remnants of resistance would soon be wiped out. See, again, that light being snuffed out. The devil has always had a thing about killing the Jews, right? He hates them, right? Then one courageous old man turned the tide. Somebody say, one courageous old man. Amen. See, all you got to do is put your courage in God. Doesn't matter how old you are, right? And one man, one woman that will stand up to the devil, look out, right? His name was Mattathias, which I think is Matthew, and he was a Kohen, head of the Hasmonean family. With the rallying cry of this man, it was Mi La Hashem Ali, which means whoever is for Hashem, let him come to me. He drew a line in the sand. Whoever's with God, come on over here. Look, they're already killing us. Let's get after it. Amen? Let him come to me. He called the people to rebellion. A pitifully small number responded at first. Don't you know it ain't how small God, it's about how big he is. Amen? A pitifully small number responded at first. The people were numb with fear and hopelessness. Man, does that sound like the day we're living in now spiritually, right? But Matthew's five sons led the way. They fought the Syrian Greeks, retreated to the mountains, and began a guerrilla war against the Syrian Greeks and their Jewish allies. Matthew had not long to live, but on his deathbed, he charged his sons to carry on the struggle. The glorious brothers heeded his command. He passed on leadership to his second son, Judah the Maccabee, who was a mighty warrior and a charismatic leader. Many miracles happened. Somebody say praise God, right? With God, man, miracles. He didn't stop doing miracles. Amen. Outnumbered 100-1, Judah and his men won many battles. Jews came to join him. In a few years, he had defeated the mightiest armies of Syria. Victory belonged to the Jew, the pure, the righteous, the loyal defender of the Torah. Following the rebellion, the kingdom of Israel was restored for 200 years. Praise God. Till about the time when Jesus died. Amen. Didn't Jesus say that? Walking through the town. You guys see all these stones? Ain't one going to be so, right? But this was a significant victory, and it became a national feast, you know, so forth, that even Jesus celebrated. Amen. So it was that Judah and his men climbed the mountain above Jerusalem and saw that there was no resistance. On the 25th day of Kislev, they marched into the holy city and immediately made their way to the belt, to Beit HaMashiach, I think that means the temple, where they saw a sight that left them shocked and angered. Idols, filth, impurity were everywhere. They rummaged through the ruins, seeking at least one flask of pure olive oil. See, man, we can't get overwhelmed with how ugly stuff looks. Just look for the oil. Look for one positive thing. You know what? Where sin does abound, grace does that much more abound. Amen? Praise the Lord. They rummaged through the ruins, seeking at least one flask of pure olive oil. I mean, man, they'd come all this way. They'd fought all these battles. Why quit now? Right? Amen. With which to light the makeshift menorah, they had the candlestick, right? They hastily had put together. Flask after flask they found, every one of them defiled. Finally, another miracle, one small jug, sufficient for one day, right? Remained with the seal of the temple intact. Quickly, with trembling hands, they poured it into the menorah and lit it. It would be 8 days before they could manufacture more oil for the next lighting. But meanwhile, they lit what they had. Amen. Boy, that jumped out at me when I read that this morning or last night. Man, even if it just looks like a little bit of oil, use what you got. Use what you have. Don't quit because it looks so big and ugly and all you've got is this little thing. Oh, no. When you give that little thing to Jesus, think about the little kid with the fish and the loaves, and Jesus took his little lunch and fed thousands with it. They could have quit. They could have got discouraged, but they decided, nope, we're gonna use what we got, even if it's just good for one day, right? And here it goes on. The flames of the menorah burned and 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 burned for 8 days. They burned. And he actually says burned and burned and burned for 8 days, eight times, right? Those eight miraculous days were chosen as the eternal symbol to commemorate the miracle of Hanukkah, the eight-day-long festival of lights, right? Where we light the menorah each evening, publicizing the miracle Hashem performed some 2,000 years ago. Amen? So somebody say, use what you got. It's not the time to quit. Even if it looks like it's all over, somebody say, I'm going to use what I got. I love The Natural, that movie with, what's the guy's name, the older actor? Redford, yeah. And he said he's been out of baseball for years, he's aging, and he tells the skipper, the manager, he says, you know what, I can't remember exactly how he says it, but he says, I don't know how much I got left, but I'm going to give you all I got. And I'll tell you what, that he became a star, and just a cool movie, you know, good story. But Jesus, if we just give Jesus what we got, man, turn the light on you have, he'll make it last and last and last and outlast. Somebody say, I'm going to outlast the devil, right? I'm going to outlast the issues in my life. Praise God. But this ties in directly to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And I was telling Shelley last night, I was like, honey, you think Gabriel had some sales training? Because I'll tell you, he brought one side of the story. Guess what, teenage girl? You're going to become pregnant, and no one's going to know how. Bad news. In today's society, that's rough. Back then, you could be killed for this. Right? You're going to conceive, and you're going to be pregnant, and you're not even married to anybody. I didn't ask your dad first. I didn't talk to Joseph. I'm just coming to you, teenage girl. Oh, Gabriel, man, Mr. Positive, right? This is going to be great, Mary. This is going to be great. You are highly favored. Really? It sounds more like a burden to me, right? It sounds more like my life is going to be on the line, right? Well, let's read on. Amen. Having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid. Somebody say, do not be afraid. I like that. There's good news there followed by a command, right? Because he knows her head's getting involved now. It's like, you know what? You have to choose. I'm not going to be afraid of this command, this opportunity. And this wasn't something that God forced on Mary. He gave her an opportunity that she accepted, which makes her, man, a patriarch of the faith, just like Moses, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like Jacob, just like Noah, Mary, right there, right there. Moses brought the word down on tablets of stone. Mary brought the word with her body, bore the word in her body. I mean, special place in the hall of faith right there. Amen. Praise God. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And she could have thought, yeah, but what about Joseph? What about my dad? What about Uncle Bill? What about the priest? Right? Well, she will just keep on going here. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, see, the angels are going right for all the positive stuff, right? He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And Mary could have instantly said, yeah, but what about the next 9 months, Mr. Gabriel? What about how this is all going to look? Right? And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Thank you, Mary. right? How can this be, Mr. Gabriel? Right? Since I do not know a man. Hello? Everybody's going to know, Gabriel. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power. There we go again. Back to the spirit stuff. Back to the, I'm talking natural. He's talking spirit. But don't you know, stuff from the spirit can be received and conceived and birthed in the natural. And that's a glorious thing. Doesn't mean you're not going to need your faith involved. Right? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. A couple more verses. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So, see, Thank you, Gabriel. He connected her with somebody on this planet that may understand what she's about to go through, right? Somebody say, with God, nothing will be impossible, right? Nothing will be impossible. What seems impossible? Not with God. I don't care what it is. You're believing for God for something that seems impossible, keep believing. Stay there. Stay in faith. Amen? But this word rejoice, highly favored one of God. Rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. At the good news that God has given you. Take on the joy. That joy will out-endure, outlast even your own questions of it. Even your own unbelief will be go away with the joy. Just receiving what God has told you. If God told you you're rich, what business have you got saying you're poor? What business have you got saying you're broke? What business have you got saying you don't got enough? No, you just say, nope, the word says I'm rich. That means, if I'm not mistaken, rich. And I'm sticking with Richie here. Amen. If God said you're healed, why spend another day saying, this thing's probably going to kill me. It killed grandma. It killed so-and-so. No, you say, I'm healed. I'm staying with health. Amen. Even if it doesn't make sense to your mind. For with God, nothing will be impossible, right? Amen. But that word highly favored, somebody say, I am highly favored of God, right? If you accept Jesus as Lord of your life, well, we need to read verse 38, actually. There's one more verse. Then Mary said, after all this, right? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel, wouldn't you know, he said nothing. He just gone. Oh, great. Right? Was there anything else, right? No. He out of there. He did his job. She, what did she do there? She believed it. She received it. She gave her permission, right? She said, yes, I will do this according to your word. And that's the attitude we have to have. If we're going to have this enduring joy, we're going to have to say, Lord, I'm going to live according to your word. But look at this highly favored thing, right? Favor means grace, acceptable, benefit. Don't you know there are many benefits? Read Psalm 103. It talks about a lot of the benefits of your salvation, right? Gifts, joy is in there. Endue with special honor. You have special honor from God. Well, how come you got all that and we didn't get nothing? We all work at the same place. We were born in the same family. Highly favored. Somebody say, highly favored. I love how Jerry Seville says, I know I'm God's favorite son, right? And you can be too. You can be God's favorite son or daughter too. He's big enough that we all can be his favorite kid. Amen? Favor, endued with special honor, to be highly favored. Gifts, joy. You are accepted by the King. And we need to accept what the King has bestowed on you and be learning about what that is. He's not bestowing disease on people. Oh, yeah, but the more you suffer, the more you suffer, the more hardship and heartache you go through, the more you'll be like Jesus. No, 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 no. He took that on himself. I've been redeemed from the curse. He's not putting the curse on me to make me more like Jesus. See, we have to, I love Keith Moore says this. He says, you need to know what Jesus did as your example, and you need to know what Jesus did as your replacement. Amen? If we're going to be like Jesus, then I guess we're never going to get married to anybody. Going to die at 33 years old. I mean, come on, right? That's not what it means, right? Jesus was the only one that could bear the curse on himself. And he did it in my place. And he did it for about 12 hours. He didn't live his life suffering and impoverished and sorrowful like some of the movies make it look, right? Where he's standing there. Behold. And he looks like, you know, Spock face. And he talks really serious. No, Jesus is joy. I think of the Christmas song, Let Your Heart Be Light. Amen? We have to choose to be light. And I also like it also ties in the light. Walking in the light, staying in the light will keep your heart light. Not walking around carrying junk. Well, but I have to carry this junk. So-and-so died, and so I have to carry this junk for them. That's religion, right? You don't have any commitment to so-and-so. Thank God for their life. Oh, I forgot to visit so-and-so's grave. She would be so angry, so disappointed. Let them be. They're gone. Amen. Tell Jesus to give them a hug for you. Right? I do that a lot about my grandparents and others that have moved on. Lord, give grandpa a hug today for me. Tell him Merry Christmas for me. Jesus can give messages to people for you that are in heaven. Ask Christine why in the world she checked out so early. Just kidding. Christine, our dear friend, you know, Auntie Christine. She's, and you know, when we get there and see her, she's going to be rubbing it in that she's been there longer than us. Right? Praise the Lord, though. Heaven is a real place. You have loved ones that are in heaven. It's a real place, man. And they're feeling no pain. They're in perfect joy and peace with the Lord. They know where you're at. We know where they're at. Amen. So we let our hearts be light. Walking in the light. Amen. But that favor of God. Why are we believing for such a great life in Jesus? Because I am highly favored. I receive God's favor over my life. Just like Mary conceived Jesus, the Word of God, in her womb, you can conceive healing in your womb, your spiritual womb, and birth healing in your life. You can conceive prosperity, and I think of conceive, you know, the conception of birth, but also conceiving in your spirit, in your mind. Think about it. Meditate on it. Conceive. See what the Word says to you about the thing you're believing for. And then don't let any, the Bible says, do not confer with flesh and blood. Once you see it in the Word, it's between you and Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.